CTV.
If you still want to watch the conference from last weekend in Stone Mountain, Georgia, you can do so. You go to my website, martinzender.com. Easy to get there, myname.com, martinzender.com, and you can click on live stream. A call, of course, it's no longer live, but you can watch it as it was live. In fact, I'm live now, according to me, but you're seeing me with a time delay. But that's okay, because it's the same truth. It's the same conference. So if you're afraid you missed it, you didn't. You can still watch it. Go to my homepage. And I think there's part one, part two, part three. The whole conference is there, thanks to Seth Follenkamp, who live streamed it. And it was my fault for not telling you on Friday's show that it was going to be live streamed. I apologize for that. There were a couple hundred people, though, watching it live stream, so a couple people knew by instinct that we would be taping it. I probably said it at one time, but I meant to tell you on Friday. Well, as I might have told you at the conference, yes, I did. I had three of the new book, Zender on Romans, Volume 1. I had three of them overnighted to Stone Mountain, Georgia. I got the balance, the seven-book balance. I got 10 printed altogether for critical purposes for saints to read. I took names and numbers of those I'm going to send this book to so that they can read it critically. Look at this baby. Here it is. Zender on Romans, Volume 1. I am really pleased with this. This book has a lot of heft, and it is loaded with spiritual meat. And after this thing gets looked at and reviewed by my peers, then it will become available to you. And again, this is just Volume 1. This is a 622-page book. This is Volume 1. Which will be four volumes. It was very handy of Paul to write Romans in 16 chapters. That's four volumes of four chapters each. This is chapters 1 through 4. And again, each volume is going to be of similar heft, because I have a lot to say on the book of Romans, because Paul had a lot to say in the book of Romans, because God had a lot to say. It's about our standing in Christ. I think it's the most important book, more important than Ephesians. I do. Because this is foundational for your peace. Romans tells you how to be at peace with God. It's basically recognizing the peace that God already has with you. God has made peace already, and he has made unity. People are always saying, the body of Christ needs to be unified. We need to get together. But there has already been made a unity of the Spirit, and we just need to recognize it. It is not made. It is recognized. It is acknowledged. And anyone who was at that conference acknowledged that we are of a common mind because we have a common head. We're of a common mind, not because we all watch MZTV, but because Christ is our head, and he energizes and animates the body. And of course, the human body is the analogy Paul gives in 1 Corinthians 12 to describe Christ's union with us. But which came first, the human body or Christ's union with us? Christ's union with us came first, in that God designated us beforehand, before the disruption of the world. And it could be that the human body came later as a way to illustrate a great truth of how our Savior, the Son of God, would be operating in the members of the body of Christ, even though the Savior, the head, get it, head, is in heaven, and the body, get it, the body is on earth, and yet there's this communication going on. And the human body is a limited but beautiful picture of that. When you stub your toe, the pain goes right up your body to the brain. It's only a short distance. For some people, it's 5 feet, 4 inch distance. For other people, it's 6'2". Some people, it's 6'9". Some people, 7'5". Some people, 3'0". The distance between us and our head is God knows how much distance that is. Christ is now in the heavenly, seated at the right hand of God, and we're down here on this seemingly godforsaken planet. No, but it is a God-designated planet. Vast distance, and yet the analogy is the human body. And how quickly does your body communicate a stubbing of the toe to the brain? But do you notice there is a slight delay? Do you notice that? It's like you stub your toe and you know that's going to hurt, but there's a slight delay and you almost have time to say, wait for it, and then boom, it gets to your brain and then the pain hits. It's so weird, but you can almost sense a short passage of time. But if you bang your head, it's instantaneous. It takes a little bit of time to go from the toe, the big toe, to the cerebrum. But it does make it, unfortunately. The pain does communicate. That's all negative, of course. Sure, it's the same thing if someone caresses your feet. Yeah, it's the same thing. Someone caresses your feet. It's a wonderful feeling. And it goes to the brain, and it kind of soothes your whole body. Well, likewise, except the body is such a dim picture, the human body is, that the communication of our head to us is much faster than any neurons can travel up the nervous system of the human body, much faster, even though that's maybe milliseconds or a fraction of a second. Maybe it's an entire second from the feet to the head. I don't know, but I swear I can. Am I imagining this? Am I the only one? There's this little gap of time, right? But our communication is instantaneous. And that's the beauty of getting together with people, is that we all hit the ground running and we all start talking like we've known each other our entire lives. That's the common theme I always hear at every conference. It's like, I've known these people. It's like I've known these people forever. Exactly. So you can relive the glory days of the conference, or if you weren't there, you can live it for the first time. Go to martinzander.com and go to those links. You can scrub through and go to your favorite parts. The fun part is, even in the downtime, the camera's running, so you can pick up some stray conversations and probably maybe people saying things that they don't want to be recorded. Those would be the most fun things to listen to. Now, I did give a talk about Trump at the conference, but I'm going to mention it again because there's some important points I left out, and I want to address this because I still believe that Donald Trump is the most, to believers anyway, the most self-evident candidate for the man of lawlessness, even though I like Trump. I love Trump. I think Trump is great. And people would say, well, how can you think the Antichrist is great if you think Trump is the Antichrist? And like I've said over and over again, after the Antichrist receives that fatal blow, then it will no longer be the person. The person will have been killed, and the demonic spirit known as the beast, there is this evil spirit called the beast, will inhabit that body. And it will no longer be the person, even though it will look like the person. It won't be the person anymore. So if you're feeling bad for anybody, like, oh, what a terrible calling. What a terrible predesignation to be designated beforehand for the Antichrist. Don't sweat it, because it won't be the person. It will be a human body animated by a spiritual being called the beast. And I'm going to give you some information about that here today. But the ex-president of the United States was indicted on 32, or was it 34, bogus felony counts. And this is why people fled countries like Cuba and Venezuela and North Korea and the old Soviet Union, any communist system. People want to, but sometimes can't flee China, these oppressive states. And one of the first characteristics of a state that is becoming tyrannical is that they silence their political opponents. And if they can, they will put their political opponents in jail. This is what every rogue state has done. They prove their power, and they really hold on to their power by destroying their enemies. They are not in this to argue ideas. Because in our country, it is my opinion that the left, which has become so radical, has terrible ideas. And if the left is on a stage with some sane person from the right, they will lose every time in the arena of ideas. And so they must resort to thug politics, to strong arm politics. And the most strong arm form of political oppression is to jail your opponents. And in the Soviet Union, they were famous for this. In a normal world, in a properly functioning society with a properly functioning justice system, you confront a crime is committed, and then you try to find who committed the crime. But in the tyrannical state, they look at the person first. They find their enemy, and then they make a crime. It's find the man and I'll show you the crime, or I'll make up a crime if there isn't one, a bogus crime, false charges. Who did this happen to? It's a very famous personage in biblical history who faced a sham trial that broke every rule of law, every precedent, in order to convict a man that they hated. Our Lord Jesus Christ, of course. False witnesses, true testimony that was not allowed, a trial conducted in the middle of the night, again, charges that could not be supported, and they convicted an innocent man. Martin, are you really comparing Donald Trump to Jesus Christ? Yes, I am, and wouldn't you expect that to be the case if we're talking about Antichrist? I remind you that the Greek prefix anti doesn't mean against, it means instead of. The world is looking for a deliverer. Why is the world looking for a deliverer? Because of how bad the world has gotten in the last 4 years. And I now see the genius of God in separating the first coming of this man from the second coming of this man. Which man you're talking about, Martin? We're getting confused between Trump and Christ. Yeah, I know. I'm talking about Trump right now. Separated by 4 years, during which my country, the United States of America, has been on an accelerated course of destruction, of lawlessness, of insanity. Anyone who follows American politics knows exactly what I'm talking about. For those who would call themselves Democrats or who would call themselves liberals, what is happening now is not the Democrat Party of even Bill Clinton. It is so far removed from that. It has become radicalized, and this is because of the times. This is because we are in the final years of Millennium 6, and things are being accelerated, and the stage has to be set. And ladies and gentlemen, I can't imagine a more perfect way the stage could be set for a deliverer than to have what has happened in the last 4 years happen under the most inept president we have ever had. But there are evil forces behind him, human beings, and there are also evil forces behind those human beings. But there are also evil forces behind the man who will deliver us from these evil forces. This is a double spy type of operation. This is an uber deception where it's a deception on top of a deception. But back to the point of comparing Christ to Trump, if Donald Trump, and this is the case for anybody who would be the Antichrist, I just see no other potential candidate. I see no other viable candidate for this role on the world stage. If he's out there, let him step forward. But this is the most famous man in the world, the most powerful man in the world, who's becoming more famous and more powerful because of the illegal persecution, the obvious political persecution coming upon him. No one would be bringing any of these charges against him if he were not running for president. If he had decided just to go off into retirement after his first term, then do you think that the New York government would have spent millions and millions of dollars in taxpayers' money to dream up charges that don't even exist, that aren't even crimes, that cannot be properly articulated as crimes, to go after this man? No way. This is their political opponent. This is a man who's leading in all the polls, who is primed to become the next president of the United States, and they can't stand that, so they have to destroy him. This is what third world countries do. This is what communist countries do. This is what Castro did. And this is what Mao did in China. They destroy the dissidents. They destroy those who oppose their governments. Free speech is not allowed. And we have seen the elimination of free speech in the United States with the government working hand in hand with social media organizations to suppress certain information and hype up other information in order to damage a political opponent. And don't think that they will not put Trump in jail. They will put Trump in jail if they can. And you know what? That would just about be the best thing that could happen. That would be absolutely amazing. Why? And for those who aren't familiar with the Constitution and say, well, it'd all be over if DJT went to jail, it would all be over. No, it wouldn't, because a man who is in jail or a woman who is in jail, for that matter, can still run for president and can still be elected president because our founders wanted the presidency to be decided by the people of the country, not by a rogue court, not by rogue, quote unquote, justice. Can you imagine that? Now, I don't know if that will happen, but at this juncture, you can't put anything past these people. They will stop at nothing. That has been clearly seen last Thursday. That was clearly seen. Clearly seen. They will stop at nothing. And we know that after this man gets elected, that they will kill him. And I believe this will be the fatal wound spoken of in the book of Revelation. But if this man is the man of lawlessness, otherwise known as the Antichrist, the instead of Christ, you see, it's somebody coming instead of Christ, doing the things that Christ would do, doing righteous things, weaning in corruption, no, not weaning it out, but eviscerating corruption from the system. See, as soon as this man, Donald Trump, said on Inauguration Day, January 20th, 2017, as soon as he said, I am here, quote, I am here to take power away from Washington, D.C. and give it back to the people. That sealed his fate. That is the opposite of centralized power. Centralized power is power concentrated in a few people who rule the multitude. Freedom, in a free country, the people decide their leaders. And it's the people who rule through surrogates that they send to the Capitol to represent their interests. It's called a representative government. And that is the government that was set up in the United States that has now been destroyed. Has now been destroyed. Already. It's already done. This is what they will do. This is what the radical left will do. They will stop at nothing. Trump said in a speech following his conviction, he said, success is the greatest revenge. But I like a comment that I heard from a conservative commentator named Dan Bongino, who said, revenge is the best success. And these people have opened a Pandora's box. They have now set a new standard for court proceedings. And let's see what happens with people on the left who have committed actual crimes that have been overlooked for years because it's just not right. It's just not a good look to go after your political opponents, even if they are legitimate criminals. How bad of a look is it to go after your political opponents when they're not legitimate criminals? In fact, Donald Trump is the cleanest politician that has ever served in any government in the entire world in the history of mankind, I believe, because he has been the most investigated person, and they had to seek desperately. The whole world, all the powers that be have sought desperately. Every agency in the United States and around the world, this is strictly a handful of people in the United States, have sought desperately to find a crime against this man, and they can't. I'm telling you, this guy's the cleanest politician there's ever been. He's a freaking Boy Scout. I'm not saying he's the most moral person, but nobody cares about that. We want a businessman. That's why we elected this guy in the first place, folks. Those of you watching from other countries, we were tired of politicians. We wanted a businessman. We wanted a straight talker. We wanted a tough guy who was going to intimidate our enemies, who will intimidate China, intimidate North Korea, intimidate enemies that would turn against us and take advantage of weak people, which is what's happening now. The rotting bag of oatmeal is the weakest person that's ever occupied that office, and our enemies definitely want him back, and they're laughing their heads off at him. And so is everybody else. It's a disgrace. It's a shame. But you would have to expect the man of lawlessness, the Antichrist, to exhibit Christ-like characteristics. You have to. That's all part of it. In Revelation 6, we're looking at the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the fabled four horsemen of the apocalypse, and the first one is a white horse rider, and I perceived, and lo, a white horse. Now, there's another white horse rider later in Revelation. This is the legitimate Christ. This is Christ returning, but this is now the false white horse rider, but it's still a white horse because it's instead of Christ, not against Christ. It'll look like Christ. It'll say the things that Christ might say, and it will do the things we want done, like the elimination of injustice. We want good government. We want a good economy. We want people left alone. We want a small government that will let people keep their income. Yes, we still want a social security state where people are truly needy and truly helpless to be able to be helped. But this system has been abused for years, and in fact, the radical left creates victims. They create victims who don't need to be victims, and they divide people because united we stand, divided we fall. They divide people, and they create victim groups so that then the victim groups will then depend on the government. It's dependence. You see, the left measures compassion by how many people they can get on food stamps, how many people they can get to be dependent on the government, how many people they can keep down, they can keep poor, they can keep discouraged so that they have to beg for government handouts. So the left measures compassion by the people they get on food stamps. The right measures compassion by the people they get off of food stamps, because dependence on the government will ruin your soul. Staying home all day and getting freebies ruins your soul. But it's human to accept what is given you. And so you get into this deadly trap of dependency. This is exactly what they want. And they not only want it on a small scale, they want it on a large scale. And so they invent victim groups. That's why all these illegal people are coming into the country. It's another group they can victimize and manipulate, who they can make dependent on them. Whereas the right believes in individuality, making your way, doing something in life, having a good self-esteem because of it. Work is good for a person. The scriptures are loaded with this. Loaded with the value of work, of the laboring man having a sweet sleep at night. You see, that's what it's all about. The left will crush your soul by claiming to be your friend. We're your friend. Like Ronald Reagan famously said, the 10 most frightening words you could ever hear is, "Hi, I'm from the government, I'm here to help." It's the most frightening words in the English language. So there's a white horse rider coming, Revelation 6, 2. And he who is sitting on it has a bow. And to him was given a wreath, and he came forth conquering that he should be conquering. Conquering what? The evil. Isn't it ironic that the people who are targeting Donald Trump claim that he's a tyrant? He's the next Adolf Hitler. He's going to destroy us. He's going to take the reins of government and never get them back. He's going to put all his enemies in jail. You mean like you're doing? No, he's going to put legitimate enemies in jail. But the left is painting themselves as people who are going to rescue us from the tyrant, the golden-haired tyrant, Donald Trump. And in order to rescue you from him, we must do tyrannical things. Yes, we must become tyrannical ourselves, but it's worth it. The end will justify the means, so we have to break every law. We have to ignore the Constitution in order to get this man because he's a tyrant. But that's a freaking lie. They told the same lie in 2016 when the man was running for president. What happened when he was president? That's what's different this time around. We have a track record from Trump. Did he become a tyrant? No. He kept us from wars. Not one war when Trump was here. He destroyed our enemies, which was radical Islam. And the economy was great because he gave power back to the people, just like he said he was going to do. The problem with Trump was he was naive and he let people stay in the government that shouldn't have been there because he was trying to be magnanimous. Well, I'm going to work with the other side, going to give the left, going to work together. Boy, he was so naive and he kept the people inside that just gnawed at the administration from the inside and destroyed it. Liars and thieves and turncoats that just worked to eat the administration from the inside out. And yet, in spite of the Russian hoax and the two bogus impeachments, Trump had the best economy that the United States has had in decades. Lowest unemployment, highest employment rates, best GDP. It was amazing. And as goes the U.S., sorry about that, so goes the world. People look to us, and when we prosper, the world prospers. Trump lowered the tax rates. He got rid of a lot of the complicated regulations that would keep people from starting businesses. Christ, you want to start a business? You know what you have to do to start a business? It's debilitating. People look at all the rules and regulations. They go, sheesh, I can't do that. Trump says, get rid of all that. Free people to become creative and to make money and lower their taxes. Oh, but the government's not going to have any money. The government, this has been proven over and over again, has more money when you lower taxes. Why? Because when you lower taxes, people keep more of their money and they invest more of their money and they create more businesses, they create wealth, and then they pay more taxes. They pay more taxes on created wealth than having wealth stolen from them, which drives them out of the country to make their shit in China. Or as Trump would say, China. China. My God, this is so wrong. And here's the thing. They have awakened a sleeping giant. Emperor Hirohito at the beginning of the end of World War II when Japan bombed Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941. He regretted it very soon afterwards. Says, we have awakened a sleeping giant. Yeah, you brought the United States into the World War II, and that was the end of Nazi Germany and the end of militant Japan. That was the end. That was the end of the evil axis, Italy, Japan, and Germany, because they poked the bear. They poked the sleeping giant. What the hell do you think has happened here? What do you think has happened here? Trump's polls have gone up since the conviction. He raised $300 million in 72 hours because even people who didn't like Trump, who didn't care about Trump, are looking at this, seeing how obviously evil it is and how it has no basis in law and how they're desperate. You can just smell the desperation on these people, and it's becoming obvious. And the left can't help themselves. They can't freaking help themselves. They can't stop. Evil always overplays its hand, ladies and gentlemen, always. So our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, had a fake trial. Trump had a fake trial. They killed Jesus Christ. They want to kill Trump. They want to put him in jail. That would be the equivalent of killing him for now. Keep him off the scene. And his sentencing is a couple days before the Republican National Convention. Well, what a coincidence. It's so obvious now. My sister Kelly sent me a voice text right after the conviction, and she said the left has just signed its own death warrant. And that's exactly what's happening. And if they put him in jail, it'll be even worse. He's become a symbol. Trump has become a symbol of the persecution of the common man. He's a blue-collar billionaire. The guy talks our language. He's funny as hell. And he really loves the country. Don't let anybody tell you, oh, Trump's just part of the system. He's a double-double agent. He's part of the New World Order. He's part of the World Economic Forum. Yeah, no. Look at his enemies. Look at a man's enemies, and you will know the man. Trump is freaking rogue, people. No, he's not part of the system at all. He was not supposed to happen. Not supposed to happen. This is a divine intervention. No human being can take in what this guy has taken unless he's empowered by God. God's hand is on Trump. Nothing will happen to Trump until the appointed hour. I want to read you one verse from the unveiling here, and then I'll have to stop for the day. Oh, but first this. Oh, how they celebrated, how these vermin celebrated after the conviction. So short-sighted, so stupid. You can imagine that the priests in Israel celebrated at the death of Christ. Oh, we got rid of that troublemaker. Now he's done. He's finished. His fame is over. He had his 15 minutes of fame, and now he's done. Really? Jesus Christ? You said that about Jesus Christ? How did that work out for you? Well, how's this going to work out for you? Same as it worked out for those dummies back in the first century who thought that the best thing they could do was kill Christ. Put him away. Take him away from the people who love him. I'll close with this, Revelation 17:8. The wild beast, and remember, the wild beast is, depending on the context, it's either a system, the wild beast system, or it can be embodied. It can be personified. It can be talking about the Antichrist. The wild beast which you perceived was and is not and is about to be ascending. I believe this is describing Trump. This is my belief. That scripture doesn't say anything about Donald Trump. I looked up his name in the concordance. It's not there. So this is me giving you my understanding at this time of how this is going to work out. Because we're so close to the end of 6,000 years from Adam, these things have to be in development. Not only in development, but coming to fruition. Our Lord said, perceive the seasons. You can look at the tree, at the fig tree, and know when it's about to blossom. I mean, like, duh. You got to be kind of stupid not to see that this is the development. If this isn't it, what, the whole thing's going to end? We have to start over, and the whole thing has to come up again? This is it. This is a crash course. We're on an exponential crash course to the end of Eon 3 and the end of Millennium 6. Did you catch that language? The wild beast which you perceived was, first term, is not, 20 to 24, and is about to be ascending. Let me go on there. About to be ascending out of the submerged chaos. The submerged chaos is not a good place. It's located somewhere near Hackensack, New Jersey, I believe. And as white as this false writer looks, and as righteous as the things he is going to do will be, and they will be, many people will be preserved alive. Many lives will be saved through the lack of war under this man. Many people will prosper and have food, and there will be good coming. There will be good. And yet it will be, behind it will be the evil powers. It will be the deception Paul talked about in 2 Thessalonians. That will deceive the whole inhabited earth except for the elect. But the elect would be deceived if it were possible. Again, that's always my litmus test. If I'm set up to think this is the greatest thing ever, it's like, ooh, Trump gets back in office, gas is down to $1 a gallon, the war in Ukraine is ended, manufacturing comes back to the U.S., wages are up, peace on earth, a goodwill toward man. I'm like, man, this is pretty great. That's the deception. The deception is not a bunch of criminals running an underground rogue state that jails its political enemies. That's too obviously evil. And listen to this. I'll finish with this. And marvel shall those dwelling on the earth. Marvel. People are going to marvel because of this contrast that is being set up, that has been set up. The 4 years of proving what can be done by a man that goes into Washington and just wants to take care of business and forget all the crap. The last thing Washington wants you to know is that things can be fixed. They don't want you to know how easily and in what a short period of time things could be fixed. Washington, D.C., probably every other state, every other capital of every other country is probably so choked with bureaucracy. It's so top-heavy. There's so many people at the top getting paid to do nothing, getting paid to really just maintain their jobs. They're not ostensibly, they're there to solve problems, but they're really there just to keep their jobs, to keep their power, to say whatever they need to say to get elected, and then they do whatever they want to do after that. The beautiful thing about Trump this time around is he can't get reelected. He's limited to his second term. He doesn't have to worry about what anybody thinks. He can go full bore. He can go full speed ahead. And I think now that he's now aware of what the swamp, what the deep state is in, he is going to freaking demolish them. He knows them now. He's going to destroy it. They know that if he gets in, they're shit out of luck. Because I think the Pandora's box that they've opened with these rogue, unconstitutional investigations, Trump's going to turn it on them. Only with him, it's going to be constitutional, and it's going to be against real crimes. We've just left it alone before because we're the nice people, generally speaking. Comparatively, we're the nice people. They're the criminals. We play by the rules. They don't. That's the problem. We played by the rules. That's the problem. Part of the problem. And marvel shall those dwelling on the earth. Don't you think they're going to marvel that a guy is running for president from jail and wins from jail? That would be so funny. Can you imagine that? And the whole world shall marvel. The whole world's already marveling. The whole world's already for this guy. Those who weren't for him are for him now because they see he's being persecuted. He's a political prisoner, literally, and he's wisely calling himself that. He's a political prisoner. He's a prisoner of the state. The current president has sent the justice system after his number one political opponent. This has never happened before in the history of the United States. And that's quite a few years. This Trump administration will be so good and so slick, so efficient, and so righteous on the outside that it will become a one-world government. That's the beast right there. That's the whole thing, you see. It's got to become a one-world government. Let me start that verse again, see if I can finish it. And marvel shall those dwelling on the earth whose names are not written on the scroll of life from the disruption of the world, when they observe the wild beast, seeing that it was and is not and will be present.